John chapter 11, we're going to be looking at a passage of scripture that sometimes we really miss what it means here. And I pray that God really works in hearts this morning and comforts hearts. In fact, the title of the sermon is Comforting Words for Troubled Hearts. When we moved to Argentina, we lived next to this couple, this Italian couple, Roberto and Karina. He was a neat guy. Got to know him. One of those Italians that would get excited and use his hands a lot and yell and all that. I don't know many of those, but probably all of them that you ever meet are like that. You know. In fact, how do you shut up an Italian? You tie his hands, right? You tie his hands behind his back and now he can't talk. But anyway, this guy, I mean, he was amazing. I mean, he was fun to be around, and they just had a little baby boy, and he was young 40s, and he started to have kidney problems. And and it was amazing that her brother actually went to the United States as an illegal, and in the States he got saved. And when he got saved here in New Jersey, God got a hold of his heart and he went back to Argentina. So he's been witnessing to this couple. And now here comes a pastor that moves right next to him and starts to talk to him about the Lord as well. Roberto really didn't listen much. Karina listened a little bit, but Roberto started to have kidney problems. And all of a sudden we found out they took his kidney out, one of his kidneys out. And I remember seeing him there and sitting in the front porch and just defeated and discouraged and wondering what was going to go on, and trying to encourage him a little bit, try to talk to him about things, but he really wasn't open to it. And we come home one day, and I'll never forget, we drive home and Karina and her mom are there in the front and they're crying, and I get out of the car and I said, "What happened?" And she said, "Roberto just died." And I remember just giving her a hug and saying, "I'm sorry." And she looked at me and she said, "There is no God. Because if there was, he would have helped us." Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever wondered, you know, God, if you were here, things wouldn't be like they are right now. My life would be different. I mean, look at this here in the verse. Martha, she just loses her brother. And look what she tells the Lord here in verse 21 of chapter 11. She says to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." She understands that the Lord had the power to heal, but he didn't show up on the scene. And that's a big if there. And we use this if as a very big word. We use if a lot of times in our lives, even though we may not say it out loud. You know, if God, you were here, my parents wouldn't have got a divorce. Or if God, you would have done this, this wouldn't have happened. Or Lord, where were you when my dad decided to use drugs and leave his family and his boys? If this, if that. We live in the if worlds. And she's just opening up her heart and she's saying, "Lord, if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. My brother wouldn't have died. We know that you had the power to heal, but you didn't come, Lord." This is a sincere cry from her heart. Martha is looking, but notice this in the next verse here. She says in verse 22, mixed with grief and pain, there's faith there. Look at verse 22. She says, "Even now, even though my brother's died, even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." She knows the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. She knows the special relationship that the Lord has with the Father. She knows that whatever the Lord would ask the Father would give him. So she knows this. But she misses it. Because she's thinking to herself, Lord, you missed your opportunity. You know, you had a chance. You could have been here and saved him from dying. But I know now, even though, you know, something happened bad, you can make this for good. I know you have the power. I know as soon as you pray that the Father will answer you. I know this. Look how the Lord Jesus decides to comfort her. Verse 23, he said to her, your brother will what? Rise again. Now, is that comfort? You just lost somebody who died that you love, that's precious to you, and somebody comes up to you and says, oh, don't worry, he'll raise again. Are you comforted at that time? I mean, sometimes, here's why we don't get this comfort inside of us, because we miss what those words mean. And sometimes we're not comforted by those words because we treasure our temporary, earthly relationships more than we do our heavenly relationships that we're going to have one day where there's going to be no goodbyes. And these words really don't comfort her heart. In fact, she doesn't really understand what he's saying here when he says, your brother will rise again. Look at verse 24. She knows the Bible. Look what she says. She said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. I know this is going to happen one day. I understand that this is going to happen. I mean, we know in the Bible it says that's going to happen. But how does that comfort me now? How does that help me now? We got to be very careful. Especially when somebody is grieving, of saying the wrong words or using things, these platitudes that really don't help people. We love to quote that verse, Romans 8:28. How many of you love that one, huh? Oh, did you just fail your test? Don't worry, God works all things out for good. You got a flat tire? Romans 8:28. Are you sick today? Don't worry, Romans 8:28. We throw it out, we just throw it out. She doesn't understand what the Lord is saying here. She's thinking this is going to happen on the last day when the Lord is going to do this and have an immediate response. She doesn't take the words of the Lord and really understand what he's saying. That's why I love verse 25. And we're going to camp there for about 3 hours. It is a beautiful verse. Boy, not one amen, huh? You guys, where you got to go? You already ate. Amen. And let me just quote Richard, stay awake. Or stay up. What'd you say? Stay up. Stay up. Stay up. I love how Spanish translates into English. Stay up. All right. Good thing he didn't say at the end, go to bed. Yeah, I don't know what he was going to say. He didn't say sit down. He said nothing. Stay up. This is so important. This will change your life if you understand these words. Jesus is going to move her attention from an event to a person. This is beautiful. He's going to change her attention from thinking about something that may have happened in the past or something that's going to happen in the future to someone who is standing right before her. Look how he starts this off in verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am. I am. I am the resurrection and the life. This is the fifth of the great I am statements. If you've studied the Bible and you understand in the Old Testament, when Moses was wondering what the Lord's name is, God, what is your name? God says, I am who I am. I am. I'm the great I am. He is I am. He's the one that ever existed and will always exist. He is God. When the Lord Jesus says, I am, he is saying, I am God. I am God. And this is the fifth one. You say, what are the other ones? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's look here real quick here. The first one, he says, I am the bread of life. He just got done feeding the multitude, you know, and they weren't army cooks. And he fed the multitude, and it was amazing, and they were all full. And he goes like this, I am the bread of life. If you want to be sustained, if you want to have true life, you have to come to the bread of life. You have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the next one he says. He says, I am the light of the world. He just healed the blind man who was living in spiritual darkness and physical darkness. And he says this, if you want to see, spiritually see, you have to come. Come to the Lord Jesus. I am the light of the world. He says, I am the door. Look at this next one, John 10:7. There's nobody getting to heaven by sneaking in through the window. You got to come through the door, and the door is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's the only way. He simplifies it. If you want to come, he goes, I am. There is no other way. You have to come to me. And then I love John 10:11. He says this, I am the good shepherd. What does that mean? The good shepherd is the one that lays down his life for the sheep. Somebody who really cares for you will die in your place, and he died in our place. He is the good shepherd. And now he comes to this. And he says these wonderful words. He says, I am the resurrection. By saying that, he's turning her attention away from an event. And he's putting her attention on a person. We miss this. When somebody talks about the resurrection, we think about something that's going to happen in the future or something that happened 2,000 years ago. We don't think about a person. He is the resurrection. He is the one that we go to. He is the one that comforts our hearts. He is the one that gives us the very resurrection that we want. Notice what that means when he says, I am the resurrection. It means this. It means when somebody comes to Jesus Christ, are you ready for this? What do they have? They have resurrection power. You feel powerless this morning? You say, power for what? Look at this here, as Gabe turns it, in Romans 6:4. He says, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in what? Newness of life. The moment somebody comes to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, they have a new life. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. And we have the power to walk in the newness of life. This is not an event. This is a person that is living inside of us, enabling us to live in the newness of life. Notice the next thing. We not only have a resurrection power, but we have resurrection purpose as well. You say, why do we even come to church? Why don't we just stay home? Why do we even have outreaches? Why do we even preach? How many of you guys ever watched Charlie Brown? Let's be, Charlie Brown the Great. You know what's amazing? You ever notice this about Charlie Brown when the adults talk? Wow, 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 wow. Why do they womp for? Let me tell you something. If there's no resurrection, I might as well just be up here going, wow, 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 wow. There's no purpose to live. We might as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But notice what it says here. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that what? That what you toil is what? Not in vain. It's because of the resurrection. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have purpose in life. But it's not only that, that we have resurrection promises. And I want you to look at this right here. He is turning her attention away from an event to a person. He's saying, if you come to me, if you believe in me, if you accept me, you're going to have this resurrection power, this resurrection purpose. You're going to have these promises that we're going to see here in a moment. What does it mean to come to Jesus? What does it mean as we accept him as our Savior, to have these resurrection promises? There are two in the text. I love it. Look at this. He says in verse 25, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he what?
Dies.
All right. Now, let me tell you something. There are people, right, and that think so much about our own bodies that they forget that these bodies are getting older, they're decaying, they're declining, and one day they will die. All right? Now, I get excited looking at young people who still have the muscles I used to have. All right? I look at Alex. I love you, Alex. I look at him, I see the muscles he has popping out of his shirt, and he knows it too, he knows it. He walks around, you know, he's got the, right? And he's powerlifting 45, up to 35, 540, whatever it is, way over 500, and he's powerlifting. I'm probably looking in the mirror and saying, man, I'm incredible, you know, I'm amazing. I got two words for you. You wait. You're going to be powerlifting one day. Your own weight out of bed. Johnny asked me how much I'm bench pressing. I said, it's going down. As I lose weight, it goes down. The body gets old. The body falls apart. And praise God, we're not taking these bodies with us to heaven. Amen. That would be a miserable place. How you doing today? Oh, man. This is heaven. I should have stayed on earth. Everything hurts. No, no. Oh, man, is it going to be amazing. Here's what Jesus is saying. Because he is the resurrection, we come to him that these bodies that are mortal and die and decay and get diseased and fall apart will one day not do that. One day the Lord will take this body that will turn into dust and raise it from the grave. He's saying, I am the resurrection. You come to me and you believe in me. One day this body will be changed and this body will be immortal and never decay. Never get sick. No pain, no nothing. Wow, Alex, when I see you in heaven, I'll show you how to deadlift. He's saying the one that comes to me, what a wonderful promise that this perishable body will no longer be perishable, but it will no longer fall apart. We'll never hear of people getting sick and dying. It won't happen. He's saying, I am the resurrection. Do you understand the first promise that the body, even if it dies, will what? Raise again. That is wonderful to think about. But there's another thing here that we can't miss. In verse 25, he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if he will live, even if he dies. He's talking about our bodies. But then he says this in verse 26, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never what? All right, now, let's be careful with this. Jesus is not saying that your body will never die. In fact, I'll never forget sitting at the bed of my father and weeping because he promised me he would never die, and he died. And I never felt so hurt because he promised that that would not happen. And I remember crying and saying, you promised me that this wouldn't happen. And it did. Jesus is not saying, don't worry, just believe in me and you'll never die. Not saying that. He's saying this. He's saying, if you believe in me and you have life, because he is the life, and you have true spiritual eternal life, that even if this body does die, that will not extinguish the spiritual life that we have. In fact, here's what's amazing about it. It will enhance the life that we have with God. Everyone says, man, I can't wait to get to heaven. But I don't know anyone that's willing to die to get there. That part scares us. In fact, we were at this church, and the church was giving away prizes, and they were asking the kids, so what do you have to do to get to heaven? And Joshua, being the Joshua that he is, you have to die to get there. No one wants that part. I just want to get there. But here's what he's saying. He's saying that when you have spiritual life, and you have the Lord Jesus Christ that begins now. The moment we accept Christ, we have that now. We have that life now. We're not waiting for eternal life. We have it now. We have a relationship with him now. We have a person that is in our life now. We have spiritual life now. The moment you have that, nothing will ever extinguish that. In fact, when we die here, we're going to be more alive than ever before. Amen. It's going to be enhanced. We're going to have better fellowship with God than ever before. It's going to be enhanced. We're going to have better health than ever before. It's going to be enhanced. We're going to have better relationships than ever before. It's going to be enhanced. Everything is enhanced. He's saying this. He's saying, Martha, do you understand this, that I am the resurrection and the life? He's saying that even if the body dies, one day I'm going to raise this body up. And not only that, your spiritual life will never be extinguished. It'll be enhanced. One person said, when you see my name in the obituary that I'm gone, don't you believe it. I'm more alive than ever before. When people are preparing your funeral, you're more alive than ever before. Some in eternal glory, others in eternal bliss. It all depends on what we do with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's where this passage gets to all of us. How come we're not comforted by these words? How come when people tell us these things at funerals and other things, we leave there just as sad as we walked in? How come when we have problems that come into our lives, we're not comforted by the resurrection? Here's why. Here's what the Lord Jesus does. Look what he says here in verse 26. He says, and everyone who believes in me will never die. And then he says these next powerful words. Do you believe this? He doesn't say, do you agree with this? Or does this make you feel better? Or do you like this one? Was that a good one? He says, are you willing to embrace this? Accept this? Put your faith in this? Trust in this? Believing is receiving. We're not believing in just mere events. We are receiving a person into our lives. We are asking the Lord Jesus to come and save us. We are putting our faith alone. Do you believe this? When we were in Iowa in 2003, we built a relationship with this young couple named Val and Sean. Beautiful couple. And when we went to Argentina, we said goodbye to them, but we couldn't wait to get back from Argentina to spend time with them. She made the best chicken Alfredo I ever had in my life. Chicken Alfredo. Let me just tell you something about it. You know, fettuccine, all this stuff. Beautiful. I mean, I was in heaven. And when we went there, we would have Bible. We would eat like pigs and have a Bible study just to make it seem spiritual. But anyway, she would cook unbelievable. So we get back in the States, and we get back, and it's February, and he calls me, tells me, you know, she's struggling with physical issues, only 33 years old. He said, hey, she's in the hospital. Will you pray? We're looking forward to seeing you in March. I was so excited. I couldn't wait to see him. And so February, as it was getting on, and then I get the call, Jeremy, she died. And I'll never forget. We go up, they lived out in the country, and we go up in a hearse to the place, and they asked me to speak at the graveside. She was buried near the house. And there was a grave place right near the house, and I'm sitting there, and I got my Bible open, and I got this crowd around me, and three young kids. I don't even think the oldest one was a teenager at the time. And two younger ones there. And I open up the Bible to John 11. And I say, while they're just all looking at me, and I said, this is not how I wanted to come up to this house and talk today. I wanted to spend time with you all. But here's what the Lord Jesus says. I am the resurrection and the life. And I quoted these verses. And then I looked at everyone and I said this. Do you believe this? And you can just, the silence there. Because this will never impact your heart today unless you put your faith in this. What gets us through those times when we see those who we love die before us? What gets us through those troubled times when we think, Lord, if you wouldn't have been here, this wouldn't have happened? It is believing that He is the resurrection and the life. And I left there, and I had no idea what God did, but later on I hear from the grandmother saying that brought so much peace to his younger daughter's life. to realize that even though mommy's body died, she's more alive now than ever before. Do you believe this? You see, I'm not asking you, and Jesus is not saying, do you believe that Jesus came, he died on the cross, he was buried, and rose again? Do you believe that, huh? Do you shake your head? That's not, we believe in a person. In him. We accept him into our lives. And that's where we miss this. Because people get so excited about an event and so excited about all these things, but they miss the true purpose of the resurrection. It's him. Do you believe this? He looks at Martha. I can just see tears coming down her eyes, you know. I know he's going to rise. Do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe it? Look how she responds. And I pray that everyone here can respond in the same way. In verse 27, she said to him, look at these next two words. Yes, Lord. Have you said that to him? Yes, Lord. I admit, I'm a sinner. I believe in you. You're the Savior. I'm not signing a piece of paper, looking at a book. I am accepting a person. I believe in you. I believe. She says, yes, Lord. I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. I was reading this story this morning about a prisoner that went to jail and he was put in the hole. The hole. And while he's in the hole and he's doing his sit-ups and push-ups and all this, and he notices that there's a Bible there, a New Testament. And he starts reading the New Testament. And as he's reading the New Testament, he starts to read about who this Jesus is and how Jesus came and he died and he rose again. And he's a person, he's a Savior. And he accepted Jesus into his life. And you know what happened to him? After he got out of the hole, they allowed him to get out of jail and he started prison reform all around America. You know why? Because he had resurrection power and he had resurrection purpose. Don't miss who the Lord is. He's asking you in your heart, do you believe? Is your trust in this alone? Do you understand the very power and promises of the resurrection? And do you base your life on that? If not, you will never have comfort when it comes to death. And if not, you will never be ready to see our Lord. Let's bow in prayer. I thank you for your wonderful attention this morning, and only God knows your heart. I can't see it, he can. Let me ask you this before the Lord. No one's looking around. We're not asking you to raise your hand, to walk in front. We're not asking any of that. Just between you and God. Do you believe? Is your trust alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone? Or are you, oh, I need to go to church. I need to read the Bible. I need to do this to get to heaven. You've missed it. Or I need to believe in these facts to get to heaven. You've missed it. We believe in a person. His name is Jesus. And he is God. He always was God. He is God and always will be God. And he came so that you may have life and life abundantly. He is the resurrection and the life. The Bible says he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Do you have life? Right there in your heart, you can say, Lord, I want the Lord Jesus to save me. Come into my life and save me, and he will. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, that in those moments when we wonder where you are, And we wonder, if you only would intervene, this wouldn't have happened to us. That you're a very patient God who points us to yourself. To realize that comfort is not just going to come in words, but comfort comes in the form of a person. His name is Jesus, your Son, who you sent to die for us. Thank you, God. But thank you, Lord, that he didn't stay in the tomb. He's alive. And we have wonderful promises that the one who believes, the one who puts their faith alone in Jesus Christ, that even if we do die, we will live. And the one that puts their faith in Jesus Christ, the one who believes in him, will never die spiritually. Death cannot extinguish our relationship with you. It only enhances it. So, Father, help us to realize that. It is one thing to know about. It's one thing to agree about. It's one thing to put our faith and trust alone in that. God, I pray that you work in hearts and you comfort hearts, and that no one would leave here today without knowing for sure, if they died today, that they would be in your presence because of Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. We have so much to be thankful for. Thank you for the power. Thank you for the purpose. And thank you for the promises that all come in your Son. We pray in his name. Amen.